Phil, every show here from the El Pacifico, Southern California, we had a massive failure of our TriCaster, which is our video computer. Now,
I noticed that you have not fired it up.
No, we've not fired it up. I fired it up earlier, and...
But you have fired it up.
Hey, bud, listen to me, okay?
Yeah, that's all I'm asking.
That's all we're asking. Did you fire it up?
Hey, what are you... Do you guys even know what you're talking about?
Yeah, why don't you let the guy explain? All right.
I fired it up, and then the thing failed. The TriCaster computer failed. So we do have a video of today's show, but we're using the iPhone.
Yeah, so I wanted to...
Go ahead, bud. Bud wanted to be heard on this.
Yeah, I think it's a little cheesy, and you know, to do it on an iPhone.
Well, let me say something.
Wait a minute, man. I got a couple things more that I want to say. And then I'd be happy to yield the floor to you, General.
Oh, well, okay. Go right ahead there, Daniel Webster.
What?
Just go ahead.
No need to insult the guy.
Well, what is this anyway, Phil? You had that TriCaster.
I'm trying to tell you that it's cheesy.
What is?
Using the iPhone for a video program.
It's not cheesy, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because many people are doing great video work using the iPhone, okay? Now, we have a very expensive computer, commercial video that we do. Right now, we need to get the hard drive fixed on this thing, and we're using our phone. We're using our iPhone. And
now, can they hear the music that you play and all the sound effects?
I guess not, no. What they can hear is just me performing the show.
Well, they can hear that if they listen to the audio.
If they listen to the audio of the show, yes. The video cast is and the pre-show is the raw mix. It's just the raw Phil. Here I am. Hi, how you doing?
Well, they still get the... Now let me just boil this down.
Yeah, so in other words...
Wait a minute. I get to say what I get to say. Well, when do I talk? Well?
Yeah?
Go ahead, all three of you. Oh, wait a minute. I'll say what I want to say. First of all, the audience, the subscribers, they're getting the pre-show, which they already heard. Phil lifting his leg to the whole technological import of this thing.
Whatever that means.
Boy, would I look... Wait a minute, hold on. I'll kick your ass, bud.
No, you won't. No, you won't. No, you will not, because I will sue.
Oh, you'll sue? My husband is a lawyer.
I'm starting now to think about kicking people out of here.
I'd love that.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. Oh, okay. Goodbye, Margaret.
I'm only kidding.
You?
No, I'm kidding.
I'm going to let the TriCaster sit. We're going to get the hard drive fixed in it, and we're doing the video with the phone. That's what I'm trying to tell people.
All right, we heard that the first time.
No, you didn't, because you guys were running your yaps. So that's what we're doing. We do have Dr. Ron Turner on, who knows some of these things, although my understanding is he's in a bathtub right now. Ron, how you doing?
Phil, listen, I have to tell you, I know how much you dislike people being in the bathtub where they're talking with you, and I got to tell you, I did not want to do it. I told Bud that I know you hate this. I got to get some hot water. It's been a tough day. Hold on. Turn it on, will you? Yeah! Okay, turn it off. He doesn't like it. Phil, I know how much you dislike people being in the bathtub, but I've had a very strenuous day today. We had a number of different programs we were installing at the observatory, and this may come as some interest to you. We saw some kind of an unexplained phenomenon on the outer edge, what we call the quadrant 7, which is the outer edge of our solar system.
Quadrant 7, what does that mean?
Who am I speaking with right now?
I'm sorry, this is General Shaw, Dr. Turner. When you say quadrant 7...
This is the outer edge, the outer ring of the solar system.
Okay.
Hey, Phil, you know, I'm not going to...
Hold on, Doctor. Hey, General, give people due respect.
I'm sorry, I'm a little flustered. We've had a computer breakdown.
I understand that. That's why Phil called me, and that's why I'm on right now to talk with you about that. But I'm telling you that here at the observatory, earlier tonight, we had an unexplained phenomenon that we saw in the outer ring of the solar system just beyond what once was called Pluto, and today we simply call that... Give me the coffee later. I'm talking to my staff, Phil. Today, instead of we call Pluto today what used to be called Pluto, today we call it Spectre 1, which is simply a term.
That's what you call Pluto.
That's what we call Pluto now.
And what does Spectre 1 mean?
It means that it is an unexplained heavenly body. So in many ways, it's like a specter or a ghost, but it is explicable in the sense that we do obviously pick it up on our telescope. But we had a flyby out there, is what I'm trying to tell you. We had something that came across the equator of Spectre 1, that was traveling at a very high rate of speed. It did not look like a meteor. It didn't look like any kind of comet or any other kind of celestial body per se. And we have reason to believe, at least we have reason to suspect, okay, that it may be something being piloted, a craft being piloted by intelligent beings, okay? So you'll pardon me if I'm not Johnny on the spot, you know, on your bathtub etiquette or anything.
Well, that's very important news, Dr. Tarn. I didn't know. So you believe you have a UFO.
Well, we don't know if it's a UFO.
If you think this is an intelligently piloted craft?
We think that there was some intelligent maneuvering of this ship, because I got on the scope, which is up in the what is called the penthouse, for it's kind of a slang term for one of the smaller telescopes. Is I looked at it there. I looked at it on the big scope that we had, and I said to Dr. Willig and the rest of the staff here, I said, "My God, I think we have a being, some sort of being, flying something. I don't know what it is."
You think you have an intelligently piloted craft flying across Pluto?
Not Pluto.
I mean Spectre 1.
Spectre 1, yes. So that's why when Phil was asking what he was asking, you know.
All right, well, I think that's fantastic, but we need to... I called you specifically so you could help us with our TriCaster and with our, computer issues.
Yes, I want to do that, Phil. But what I'm trying to say to you is you'll forgive me if my mind isn't 150% on having to do with your TriCaster, because I just saw something tonight that made me feel exhilarated. It made me feel like perhaps, who knows, we've discovered something that's never been seen before. And a little bit of it sort of made me nervous.
Well, you sound a bit nervous or scared, Dr. Tarner.
I'm not scared. Scared? That would be the wrong word. I'm exhilarated, yes, but there's a fear, but it's a good fear. It's the fear that, my God, we've made contact with an intelligent being flying saucer. Not a flying saucer.
What did the craft look like?
Well, it was too far away, Phil. It was a dot of light moving.
Well, how'd you know it was intelligently piloted?
Who's that again?
It's Bud.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bud. Ask the question again, please.
How did you know it was intelligently piloted?
How did I know it was intelligently piloted? It's a matter of deduction, Bud. It's flying across the equator, and I'm not sure I understand the question.
I think it's a good question. No, it is a good question. How do you know that that wasn't some kind of a meteor?
Because it was flying perfectly along the equator. No meteor travels perfectly along an equator. That's number one. Number two, it had a movement. It was moving rapidly, very quickly, very straight line. And it looked like it had purpose and direction. It looked, I'll use an example. It looked like any spaceship that you'd see in a science fiction movie, only it didn't look like it didn't have fins on it or anything, but it had a purpose of movement. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I don't understand what you're saying. You're saying it had a purpose of movement. How do you know it was an intelligently piloted craft?
I'm trying to tell you. The craft...
Well, Dr. Tarter, when you say a purpose of movement, it looked intelligently piloted. It wasn't a meteor. It didn't have fins on it like a science fiction... You see...
Well, here's where I have a problem, Phil, going on a lot of these programs, such as yours and other people's shows. I've been on the Don and Bob, or the Ken and Don, whatever those shows are.
Were you on the Ken and Bob show?
I might have been on the Ken and Bob show. And when I went on that show, I said, that we have an intelligently piloted craft, and I had the two of them going, ha, 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 and make a joke. Hey, let's go to a phone call. And they're honking horns, and they're doing these things that... So I.
Right, so you have, you're suspicious of these layman radio shows.
Yeah, exactly. But Margaret, to answer your question, I believe it was intelligently piloted. Dr. Berwanger believes it. Dr. Bellinger, Dr. Maycock, all of those, the Brain Trust here at the Cloverdale, the Mount Meadow Observatory, believe it to be intelligently piloted, and piloted by a being of intelligent origin.
All right, I guess...
I don't understand. Yeah, you haven't said why you think it.
Yes, I have.
You said that it was... Okay, let's just move on.
I want to get the TriCaster fixed.
All right, Phil, but you understand I'm a little bit, you know, distracted by the fact that I saw something that I believed.
Yes, you believe it was piloted by intelligent life, but you don't, you can't explain to us why.
Well, with all due respect to you, General Shaw, I'm a doctor, I'm a scientist. I don't know how to put this to you, but I'll just say it straight ahead. You should take my word for it, okay? You should take my word for it.
Why should we take your word for it?
What's that?
Why should we take your word for it?
I said I'm a doctor, I'm a scientist.
Well, yeah, but Dr. Toner, yes, because you are a doctor and a scientist, we trust that you have information you can impart to us to tell us why you believe what you saw was an intelligently piloted spaceship.
It was an intelligently piloted, either it was not a flying saucer, I did not see it as a disc. It was a spaceship flown by beings most likely more intelligent than us, okay?
Why do you say that?
Why do I say what?
Why do you say it's...
Yeah, why is it more intelligent piloted?
Whoa, Sunshine. I don't need you guys...
Hey, Dr. Toner, don't refer to anybody here as Sunshine. We're trying to understand what you're saying.
You guys are hitting me with the questions fast and furious. I came on your program, Phil, to help you out with a busted computer, and I simply let it slip.
And I appreciate that, sir.
Thank you. But I simply let it slip, saying, well, my mind isn't completely on business because I saw a flying saucer!
Okay, that's it for him, man. Well, wait a minute, Phil. No, wait a minute, Phil. No, nothing. That's the last time I have anybody scream, lose their temper, or any of that other bullshit on this show. Do you understand?
I mean, Mr.
Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Well, Phil, I can understand. You're right. Dr. Toner should never have done that. But I'm curious if he called back, if I can get him to apologize, because I'm fascinated with what he's saying.
You know what? If I have anybody lose it like that again, I'm going to... What is that, bud?
I got Chris Norton. He's over down at Throb City. You know, hey, Chris. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, what's up? All right here.
Yeah, Phil Henry.
Wait a minute. Chris, hold on.
Okay, but I was...
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I understand, Phil.
All right. I've had Bobby Dooley, I've had all these people losing their minds on this show, and I don't like it. Okay, get Chris Norton with us. Chris, we had a TriCaster go down. You know, it's a video computer.
Yeah, I know all about it. I was filled in by Dickman just a minute ago.
Can you help us with this? Because it's a fairly expensive.
Now, you had the original. Hold on for a minute. I got take five, okay? And we'll get back to scene three. Where we are in, we're with Sluggo. Okay, what scene are we in? Sluggo? Have you taken a shower? All right, get Sluggo showered up. And then him and Rita May, they're going to do around the world. And they'll do the Apple Bob. Around the world Apple Bob. Yeah. But get Sluggo showered up, okay?
Okay.
You're in the middle of obviously producing a film.
We are. This is called Sluggo Goes Around the World. We're in the Apple Bob scene. Anyway.
Sluggo Goes Around the World.
You got that right. I mean.
Okay, that's fine. So we wanted to ask you about the TriCaster computer that we have here that is suddenly, it spontaneously failed. Phil right now is doing the video cast for the program on his iPhone.
Okay, I'm familiar a lot, Mr. Henry, with the TriCaster, and I can tell you that it's a very, very temperamental machine. We use it for video backup. As you know, most of what we do is just on film primarily. So we're filming, like for instance, we're doing right now, Sluggo Goes Around the World, Apple Bob Time. This is a film that...
Sluggo Goes Apple Bob Time. What's the name of the film?
I just said it's...
Hold on. We don't know the... I'm sorry. We don't need to know the name of the film. It's called what? Sluggo Goes Around the World, Apple Bob Time.
Yeah. I mean, Mr. Ender, I'm doing you a favor. The least you could do is help me plug my movie, okay?
All right, Sluggo Goes Around the World, Apple Bob Time.
Yeah, with Sluggo Mangione, who's one of the top adult actors.
What is this man's name?
Sluggo Mangione, you know him, bud.
Yeah, I know Sluggo Mangione, one of the top adult film actors.
Sluggo Mangione.
Yeah, man. I mean, get with it, you know?
All right, so good for you, Sluggo Mangione. Who is the actress? I'm sorry, Phil, who's the actress?
Misty Bush?
I don't know.
Well, I don't anticipate that a lot of you guys have heard of Misty Bush. Or Sluggo Mangione, though, is a big-time actor. Oh, no. So, well, Misty Bush's real name is Misty Goudreau. You ever know about Misty Goudreau? You know?
No, I've never heard of her.
Okay, well, she She's probably never heard of you, so...
I bet you she has.
Hey, Misty, have you ever heard of Margaret Gray? I guess she has. So,
all right, enough of this horse dung. Are you going to help me with the computer or not?
Yeah, I'll help you, man. Hey, hold on. Hey, Sluggo, are you showering? What are you doing back? Get in there and take a good hot shower, man, okay? I can smell you from over here. Louie, turn down the music, will you? We're trying to keep it in the mood, Phil. So what happened?
What basically happened, I fired on the TriCaster, just spontaneously collapsed. It stopped.
Okay, well, you probably have to have the hard drive looked at.
That's what I thought, but I was hoping that maybe there was something else we could do.
I'll try firing it back up again, okay? This time, turn it back on. Did you force quit it, or what'd you do?
I had to.
Did you turn it back on?
I've turned it back on. The computer's on, but I've not gone onto the TriCaster software.
Okay, what I would do is, why don't you go ahead and shut it down? You shut it down properly. And give it overnight, man, and then, you know, see if it fires up, and if it do, then, and if it do not, I mean, if it does, you're good. If it does not, then it doesn't work or anything like that.
Is there anything you can come over and look at?
Not right now, man. I've got,
Yeah, he's got Sluggo Franciapone taking a shower.
Hey, what is this, Mr. Henry? I didn't come on here.
I'm sorry. General, give me a break, will you?
Sorry.
What I'm trying to do, I've got a movie I'm trying to make, okay, because it's a very good possibility if we're going to get this in wide release, okay? And it's funny because when I tell people this is going in a wide release, I have an adult film audience that goes, yeah, okay. You know, they know what wide release means when you talk about wide release.
We had a whole show when you were talking, Chris, about how fantastic it was to say you had a film in wide release. We understand it has some crude connotation.
No, it's not. I wouldn't call it crude. I would simply say that it has a connotation that is relevant to the film. We're saying that Sluggo, you know, Sluggo goes around the world, you know, Applebaum time, is in wide release. And when you say that to the adult film audience, they line up. They're ready. They're ready to rock and roll because they know this is going to be one for the books. And this is not only one for the books, but it's got Misty Bush.
Or Misty Goudreau.
Yeah, or Misty Goudreau.
All right. I will try, and I'll do what you said. I'll take it offline tonight. I'll do it. I'll do a proper shutdown, right?
Yeah, shut it down the right way. Wait overnight, okay? Then power it back up, start normally, and then turn on the TriCaster, see what happens. So how many times did it fail?
It failed twice.
Well, it sounds to me like you're gonna have to take it over to New Tech or the guys who are at Kiko or something like that, you know?
What did he say? What did you say, Chris?
I said he's gonna have to take it over to the guys that he bought it from to have it, you know, fixed.
All right, Chris, good luck with the new film.
Yeah, and again, to Sluggo, you kill the music, all right, okay, because it's giving me a headache.
You wanted to stay in the mood.
I'm in the mood already. Thank you. Yeah, the film is called Sluggo Goes Around the World, Applebaum Time. Mystic Bush, Misty Goudreau, and the Applebaum twins. And
who are the Applebaum twins?
Well, three guesses, the first two don't count.
Yes. Yeah, it's probably an Applebaum scene.
God damn, man. When your testicles drop, man, you drop me a line here at Chris Norton.
All right, man, so that was one wasted bunch of bullshit, if ever I heard it. Is Dr. Tarner? Dr. Tarner is very apologetic. All right, now let me talk to him. Dr. Tarner, hi, it's Phil Hendry.
Phil, I'm sorry from the bottom of my heart. I saw something from another planet, Phil, an intelligent pilot craft tonight that took me way off. It took me too far out. So I apologize tonight to you and the audience.
You saw something piloted by an intelligent being flying past what we used to call Pluto, and you're sure it was extraterrestrial life?
Yes. Yes. And so I couldn't get all excited about your TriCaster. And I apologize.
All right, well, you know what? Given how emotional you are, given how you just flew off the handle, I don't know whether we should have you back on the show or not.
You know something? That's just like you, Henry. You know that?
Well, I mean, what do you mean that's just like me?
That's just like you. I came on the program with the best of intentions, and I wanted to help you. And because you kept asking me, well, why couldn't you? What does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? I got a little bit angry.
It's all right. We look at Dr. Tarner. Chris Norton helped us.
A pornographer? So you had this guy, Norton, that walks around all day with his finger coming out of his fly going, hi!
You really need a vacation.
Yeah, I do. I do need a vacation. Have you got the money to send me on vacation? Because nobody here at Bountabetta is going to give me a no vacation. You got this guy, Chris Norton. Is he the guy that makes the dirty movies?
Chris Norton does adult films, yeah.
Okay. You call him up to get help with a computer, and all he does is walk around, he sees a pretty girl, and he goes, bloop, 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 you know, like he's a fish, like he's licking the scum off the inside of a fish tank.
Why don't you get a vacation or something, Tarner? You need it.
Let me tell you something, General Shaw, if anybody needs a vacation, you do, okay? I'm fine.
You don't sound fine. You lost your temper there. Now you're talking about Chris Norton and making sound effects like, what is it, licking scum off the inside of a fish tank?
That's right. I know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay, I saw something from another planet tonight, piloted a craft. Okay, I'll say it. It looked like a classic rocket ship from Venus or a planet within our solar system, probably piloted by women, by extraterrestrial women, females, yes, females who don't judge you, females who don't need anything, females who don't need for you to perform all these male tests. Females who are ready to serve us as men. Females who are willing.
Yeah, you do need vacation. You need more than that. You need a psychiatrist.
Ooh, right there, right there. That's what women do, Phil.
All right, go see a doctor, Dr. Tarner.
I am a doctor. I am a doctor.
Yeah, go see a psychiatrist and tell him all about the spaceship piloted by females who don't require anything of men except to serve them.
Okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. And I'll call.
And that concludes today's world famous Phil Hendry Show. PhilHendryShow.com. That's some great guitar playing there. That's Bud Dickman on the guitar.
Thank you very much.
Anyway, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, executive produced by me, Phil Hendry, for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One. No thanks to Dr. Ron Tarner or Chris Norton, but go see Chris's new movie. What is the new movie?
It's called, Around the Sluggo Goes Around the World.
Yeah, Applebaum Time. Applebaum Time. I don't know why I have Frank drive me here every day for this chump change monkey show. Don't forget to get a subscription to the world famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com. See you tomorrow.